The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
She was on the other night condemning Donald Trump for ruining our democracy. So this little supercut surfaced of quick Hillary Clinton cuts. You want to see the matriarch? Here's the Democrat matriarch threatening democracy herself and causing a distrust in the United States government that is going to last for generations. Here's Hillary Clinton destroying our democracy. Check this out.
Well, he certainly interfered in our election, and it was clear he interfered to hurt me and to help my opponent. Unprecedented interference. I was on the way to winning.
We know that Putin was intent upon helping Trump. That's no longer subject to debate. The interference with the election. Virginia just stopped using touchscreen computer voting because it's so vulnerable.
Right.
We need to look at all the voting machines. Every Secretary of State needs to be, you know, assisted in making sure that they are not being hacked and attacked.
You can run the best campaign. You can even become the nominee. And you can have the election stolen from you.
He knows he's an illegitimate president.
This has had a real impact. Hat tip Trumpet Daily for that supercut.
Nice. Another bit of self-promotion. We're not going to do this every single day, don't worry. But there's Dan Bongino playing one of our supercuts. And the cut actually does tie in with some of the stories that we want to bring to your attention today. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on this final show of the week. Can't believe it's Friday. It's been one of the busiest weeks we've had with the start of college orientation, a trip to Missouri the other day, and then, of course, we're anxiously and eagerly anticipating an exciting couple of days on Sunday and Monday. I'll talk more about that in just a second. First, though, you can get to our live video stream at the website, trumpetdaily.com. Just go to trumpetdaily.com, and you can watch live every weekday morning at 11 a.m. in the central time zone of the United States. So that's high noon if you're on the East Coast. Also, you can go to our Rumble page to get the live stream every day as well. Just to search for the Trumpet Daily. I know if you search for our program, a lot of times it brings up the LFA feed because they have more followers. But if you scroll down far enough, you can find that little link to the Trumpet Daily channel. And you need that. You're going to need that for Monday night because on this channel, I'm speaking of our Rumble channel, we're going to be broadcasting live the General Mike Flynn event. He's going to be speaking at 6 p.m. There's some opening comments and remarks, a little bit of music to lead the way, a video that will introduce him. We're going to actually play that for you later on today's show. You don't want to miss it. It'll probably make you get a little bit emotional if you watch that 5-minute video. So we'll lead the second segment of today's show. We'll lead that off with a special video presentation that we've prepared to introduce General Flynn on Monday night. In any event, if you don't live anywhere near central Oklahoma right now, there's 550 people that are making plans to attend the event. If you'd like to attend, if you do live close enough, just go to thetrumpet.com and you can find the little thumbnail there of General Flynn along with the button to push to reserve seats for Monday night's engagement. If you can't make it, you can watch it live at our Rumble channel. Just go to the Trumpet Daily Rumble channel and you can watch the live presentation online Monday evening. Also, you don't want to forget about the final Celtic Throne performance for this season. That's Sunday afternoon. Just go to CelticThrone.com. And again, join a loud and raucous crowd that's going to be lifting the roof off of Armstrong Auditorium for the final encore performance of Celtic Throne. So lots and lots to get to. Lots and lots coming up. And as I say, we'll be happy to see some of you that make the way in or make the journey to come in to see any of those events. Jim Comer, he released a statement yesterday. It was actually a letter, a request that he sent to NARA, the National Archives. And this is rather than report or rather quote exactly what he said in the letter, I'll just give you the New York Post's reportings. It says here, emails previously released by the archives and retrieved from Hunter's abandoned laptop reveal that Joe Biden used the email address robertlpeters@pci.gov. So he had an alias by the name of Robert L. Peters, a.k.a. the big guy, assuming Joe is the big guy. But Joe Biden, yeah, he was not. And it wasn't just Robert L. Peters. It says, while he was President Barack Obama's second in command and that his aide, John Flynn, copied Hunter on 10 emails containing the elder Biden's daily schedule between May 18 and June 15. Everybody was in on the emailing. He's, as this article brings out, he's maintained there was this massive wall standing between him as his duties for vice president and, of course, Hunter's business dealings that was just netting the family tens of millions of dollars, as much as $50 million. And that's probably just the tip of the iceberg. This article says here, Comer's request covers records using Biden's other known pseudonyms, Robin Ware and J.R.B. Ware. So you got J.R.B. Ware, you got Robin Ware, and then you've got Robert L. Peters. Kind of a big deal. He's serving as vice president. He's got all these pseudonyms. You would think the regime media would maybe want to look into this. If he went by the alias of Bribes Are Us, they still would ignore this. They still would ignore this story. Because Trump, remember, has moved boxes. This is quite the crime family. It says here, Joe Biden has stated there was an absolute wall between his family's foreign business schemes and his duties as vice president, but evidence reveals that access was wide open for his family's influence peddling. That's quoting Comer in his letter to NARA yesterday. It says further, the broad request for records involving Biden's pseudonyms could turn up a variety of content, including on other Biden family ventures in countries such as China. I mean, it's not even funny, is it? He sold out his country. He's a traitor. And he occupies the Oval Office, the White House. Well, when he's not on vacation. He's the fake president of the United States. They orchestrated the steal, and what a perfect puppet for the dear leader, for Barack Hussein Obama. Listen to this from Bill Barr, speaking of traitors, just listen to this from yesterday, clip 5.
You know, I think the chances are that he will be convicted on some counts. And
you see him doing jail time.
But I don't think that translates into jail time.
Why?
Because I think, if I was attorney general and we were prosecuting, for example, on the documents case, which is a righteous case, I wouldn't want to see a former president in jail.
So he's trying to have it both ways. Talks about the righteous case for moving documents. Says that he's going to get convicted. And this is the man that sat on all of the evidence of criminal activity for the Biden crime family. The laptop, he knew, the DOJ under his watch would have known about all these dealings, the pseudonyms, the communications, the wire transfers coming in from the CCP. And here he's going on and on about get Trump. There's, I think, the last count, I think there's 91 felony charges against Trump. If there was a conviction on everything, he'd be going to prison for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. This article from PJ Media. President Joe Biden has rightfully taken criticism for his utter failure to address the natural disaster and massive loss of life in Maui, instead choosing to take a week-long vacation in Lake Tahoe. It begs the question, after his 2020 campaign in which his handlers called lids on his campaign activities after 9:30 a.m. each day, his frequent suns out, guns out, beach trips, and his frequent breaks from his hectic schedule, how much time has Biden actually spent on the job? It goes on and quotes Mark Levin, the commentator. Biden just took a 10-day vacation. He took a long weekend off this past weekend, and he's going on another vacation. Either being president is the easiest job in the world, where even a person with stage 5 dementia can do the job, or our country is being run by a group of radical leftists operating in the shadows. Well, he's close to right. It's just not a number of them. It's being operated and run by the dear leader, by Barack Hussein Obama. He's right about that. He doesn't really have any need to come in for work. All of Obama's handlers are still there in the White House reporting to the dear leader. America is under attack. That's the title of the book we advertise most on this program. If you don't have a copy of it, make sure that you order your free copy today. Just call the 800 number there. It's 1-866-930-3024. You know, a couple things I forgot to mention. Amid all of the housekeeping we noted at the top of the show, General Flynn's coming to this very show on Monday. We're going to be sitting down with him and having a nice hour-long or almost hour-long discussion. And of course, we've been doing some upgrading right here in the studio. If you want to cut to the other angle, you can see some of the imagery that we've put right at the top of our backdrop here. All kinds of pictures with respect to this work and our mission to reach the largest audience possible. Lots of history, our involvement with, for example, the Jerusalem excavations over the years. We could have put 1,000 more pictures up there, I suppose, but the guys have done quite a lot of work with the imagery, with some of the lighting that we've added. So the studio is just looking great. It couldn't come at a better time as we have our first, we've done a few interviews over the years, but I think our first sit-down interview right here in this studio. So we can look forward to that on Monday. This is as good a time as any to have a short promo, and we'll come back and play the 5-minute video introduction that we're going to be using on, so you get a little bit of a foretaste of Monday night's event here in just a couple of minutes. So we'll be back in just a moment and come in with the General Flynn video. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Are we living in the last days? Some dismiss the notion as fanatical, but world leaders and news analysts are issuing warnings that are becoming more and more dire. Could Bible prophecies about the last days actually be accurate? Our brochure can help guide you through the relevant news and history and help you compare these events to what the Bible says. Are we living in the last days? This brochure is available for free right now at thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Rhode Island, first to declare independence, founded for freedom, a land for the free and a home for the brave, home of one of America's most loyal families, a family of patriots and service members, a family of 11. And for one of those family members, service became something bigger, much bigger. University of Rhode Island, ROTC, Military Intelligence, 82nd Airborne, War College, General Staff, JSOC, Fort Bragg, Schofield Barracks,
Fort Leavenworth, Fort Polk, Fort Huachuca, Grenada, Haiti, Central America, the Balkans, Afghanistan, Iraq. In the Middle East, he revolutionized counterterrorism operations. His innovative intelligence ops were smarter, faster, and made Americans safer. Then President Barack Obama appointed him director of the Defense Intelligence Agency. There, he saw duplicity toward radical Islam.
President Obama told The New Yorker that ISIS, a part of Al-Qaeda, was like a JV basketball team.
Instead of keeping silent, he chose to sound the alarm.
General Flynn warned of exactly this. He said ISIL probably will attempt to take territory in Iraq and Syria to exhibit its strength in 2014. He's warning of exactly what happened.
And was forced out.
He was pushed out as head of the Pentagon's Defense Intelligence Agency.
Then he was brought back by President Donald Trump in a big way.
Former General Michael Flynn has accepted an offer to serve as President Trump's national security advisor,
which is the single most important national security job in the White House and perhaps in the United States government.
Fearless, he fought hard for America and was attacked relentlessly for it.
Well, I just had the opportunity to have an excellent conversation with President-elect Trump.
President Obama.
President Obama.
President Obama felt so strongly about Michael Flynn that he personally warned
him personally.
Don't hire retired General Michael Flynn.
I fired him for a reason. This is going to cause you grief.
Stay away from Michael Flynn. He's bad news.
He was lied to and spied on.
Mike Flynn spoke with the Russian government.
Was collaborating with Russia, conversations with
Russia.
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 General Flynn traveled to Russia. Mm-hmm. He sat right next to Vladimir Putin.
He does have close ties with Vladimir Putin.
The issue is, what did he tell Trump?
Slandered and set up.
An interview former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn had with FBI investigators.
You look at this White House now, and it's hard to imagine two FBI agents ending up in the same room. How did that happen?
I sent them.
What is our goal? Truth, admission, or to get him to lie so we can prosecute him and get him fired.
This looked like a perjury trap.
These agents specifically schemed and planned with each other to set him up and frame him.
Then vindicated.
We're interrupting your programming because there's some major news out of the nation's capital right now. The Department of Justice has just announced that it is dropping all of the charges in the criminal case against Michael Flynn.
I am very proud of General Flynn. He was a great warrior, and he still is a great warrior. Now, in my book, he's an even greater warrior.
Now he's fighting harder and louder for a country in crisis.
I want people to go back to two documents. One is the Bible, and one is the Constitution.
General Michael Flynn, get ready.
Because we're bringing you back.
Great job by our production crew as they prepared that video in anticipation of the main event here on campus Monday evening. Just go to thetrumpet.com and you can look into getting tickets for that event, for that speaking engagement from General Flynn. And then, of course, Monday morning on this show, we'll have a lot to talk about as our news gatherers have been giving me piles of information to sift through in anticipation of the interview. So we're very much looking forward to that, and hope, if you live close enough, that you'll join us for all of these events. I mentioned the other day how that we met up with him at the election summit in Springfield, Missouri, which came to a conclusion yesterday. That was a two-day event sponsored by Mike Lindell, and he had his big announcement on, I guess it was 1 p.m. yesterday afternoon. Here's a bit from that, clip 6.
We've been lied to. The biggest lie they told that's blocked everything is we're not on the internet. We're not on the internet. Our machines aren't on the internet. Our routers aren't on the internet. We have nothing on the internet. So I wanted, it's been worked on for over a year, this device that now monitors when you go on the internet and what the name of your device is, if you're a router, printer, whatever, doesn't matter, and it beams down exactly where it went online. So in other words, we now can police our own election.
So Mr. Lindell's got some kind of a device that can at least see when machines are getting onto the internet. It can't spy on what they're doing. But it can, at least, according to him, I don't know anything about the technology, but he says at least you can see if they're being honest, because so many of them, I mean, that was proven in the fraud of 2020 as well. Not on a mass scale, but there were those that just insisted there is no way any of these machines are hooked up to the internet. And lo and behold, people found out later. Well, actually, there were some machines hooked up to the internet, and there were some glitches that are hard to explain. This is from Issues and Insights. It says here, it's about an investigation into this group called Everybody Votes. The Everybody Votes campaign, all the big Dem donors were behind it back in 2020. And this company that's investigating that group, it says this about the investigation. Our exclusive research reveals how a little-known organization called Voter Registration Project leveraged connections with billionaire private foundations, Sam Bankman-Fried's mother, and foreign billionaires with a history of breaking U.S. election law to raise $190 million for Everybody Votes, the Everybody Votes campaign. They ended up registering 5.1 million people. It says using data from leaked copies of the campaign's secret plans, as well as a 2020 exit poll, our researchers have discovered that VRP's 5.1 million new registrations provided Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden with somewhere between 1 and 2.7 million votes across 8 specially chosen swing states during the 2020 election. So they were smart, the Democrats, and they got away with breaking the rules because a lot of those rules were suspended because of COVID. Remember COVID? It says here, our investigation proves once and for all that Democrats used truckloads of money from private foundations and public charities to give their donors enormous tax breaks and pad their electoral margins in 2020, even though charities and foundations are strictly forbidden by law to operate with the effect, much less the intent, of benefiting a political party. You see how that the real election deniers are like what you heard at the top of the show. Hillary Clinton, she's the one out there spreading this atmosphere of mistrust. It's not Donald Trump, because he's calling out the fraud, the obvious fraud that happened in 2020. Here's another one. That last one, I'm not sure where it was, actually. This one here is Issues and Insights. It's basically saying how that Donald Trump got indicted for using a PhD vetted study on voter fraud. You know, Fannie Willis out there saying, yeah, he just created this lie out of thin air, and he kept just spouting it off, and it caused all this distrust, this atmosphere of distrust. He lied knowingly. And this article here says Trump was making the statements he made based upon these PhD studies. It says here, the recent indictment of Donald Trump alleges that he criminally lied about election fraud when contesting the 2020 election. In the words of the indictment, Trump, quote, spread lies that there has been outcome determinative fraud in the election and that he had actually won. These claims were false, and the defendant knew that they were false. I mean, they know what's going on in Donald Trump's head. They can understand where there are wrong thoughts coming from their opponents. It says here, the indictment claims that Trump lied because he was notified repeatedly that his claims were untrue. So because one advisor said it's not true, and another advisor said it is true, it was stolen. Because he went with that advisor, evidently he's guilty of all these felonies. It's just outrageous. says, for example, the indictment accuses Trump of lying because he said that more than 30,000 non-citizens had voted in Arizona, even though his own campaign manager had explained to him that such claims were false. This is quoting from the indictment. And then another quote, the Speaker of Arizona's House of Representatives, who had supported the defendant in the election, had issued a public statement that there was no evidence of substantial fraud in Arizona. Well, how could Trump say that there were 30,000 votes, non-citizens? It says here, the indictment creates the impression that Trump pulled the figure of more than 30,000 out of thin air. In reality, it's from a rigorously documented study that was vetted by two PhD scholars, published by the research institute Just Facts, and conducted by James Agresti, the organization's president and author of the present article. It says, reinforcing the integrity of the study, a Facebook-funded attempt by USA Today to fact-check it fell flat. This article then concludes, the figure cited by Trump is from a study conducted by Just Facts, a research and educational institute that has been cited by a diverse array of media outlets, universities, governments, think tanks, and peer-reviewed journals. This is a group, they're quoted or they're treated seriously by everybody, even in government, in academia. It says, by adhering to exacting standards of credibility, just Facts has been presciently accurate about far-reaching issues that other organizations widely botched. You may have heard, too, about Donald Trump calling for a press conference on Monday regarding all of the voter fraud in Georgia. Another big study coming out. He said he was going to have the press conference at 11 a.m. Eastern, I guess just right before the start of our show here at 11 a.m. Central. But Sam tells me he sent out a note just this morning saying that his lawyers, I guess, are advising him to include the study in his legal briefs. So he's not going to come out, I guess, public with it. This was his initial statement on Truth Social, August 15th, three days ago. He says, a large, complex, detailed, but irrefutable report on the presidential election fraud, which took place in Georgia, is almost complete and will be presented by me at a major news conference on Monday. He says, based on the results of this conclusive report, all charges should be dropped against me and others. There will be a complete exoneration. They never went after those that rigged the election. They only went after those that fought to find the riggers. They're just going after the ones that are contesting. It's never happened before. Look at Hillary, the opening montage. Look at how much she got away with spreading distrust. I mean, she has said it outright. The election was stolen. That's the word she used. 2016, she means. The election was stolen and Vladimir Putin rigged it. And they've gotten away with saying that for 7 years. For 7 years, they've been saying this. If Trump even thinks it, well, just add that to the list of 91 indictments or 91 felony charges. Four indictments. Sundance at Conservative Treehouse. He says, regarding this press conference, the Republican apparatus in Georgia is going to go bananas. I mean, we've played some clips for you this week from Jeff Duncan, the former lieutenant governor. But you can add Brian Kemp to the mix. You can add Raffensperger to the mix. All of these rhinos. That establishment is just going to go bonkers. As more and more evidence pours forth, revealing the extent of the fraud in states like Georgia and Arizona, where the president only lost by 10 or 11,000 votes. Lost, quote unquote. Sundance says, it's not the Democrats and totalitarian leftists that are going to go bananas. It's the Republican Party apparatus, fraught with fear that their constructs are about to be revealed, who we will see going on the attack. There was someone that made a comment at that Lindell event on Wednesday. She said she feels like Republicans, the reason Republicans won't fight with Donald Trump on this issue is because so many of them are, they're in on it as well. They're, you see it in their statements, like Bill Barr and Jeff Duncan talking about how wonderful Fannie Willis's indictment is, accusing Trump of all these thought crimes. But this woman who made a statement at Lindell's event, she said she feels like a lot of the Republican establishment likes this no verification and all those things that allow for them to get in establishment candidates on the primary level. Because we don't want those MAGA Republicans. We got to keep them from ever getting into office. Look at how many rhinos there are in Congress. And then you go out and you take a look at a rally, one of Donald Trump's rallies, and you see all of these MAGA Republicans. It makes you wonder how Mitch McConnell and others like him just keep getting right back into office. Ben Stein at the American Spectator, speaking of the lawfare that they've unleashed against Donald Trump and his supporters. I mean, the last indictment, they went after 18 co-conspirators. So it's not limited to Trump. It says here in the U.S., there are roughly 3,100 counties. Most of them have prosecutors or district attorneys. Each one of them can usually impanel a grand jury. These grand juries can, with rare exceptions, meet in secret to consider indicting anyone. I mean, they could just indict, as the saying goes, you can indict a ham sandwich. The defendants in these matters are not allowed to have lawyers, although sometimes they do. They are sometimes kept from their families and colleagues for long periods. It says at any point, the prosecutors can issue indictments for crimes, real or imagined, felonies or misdemeanors, based on the proceedings of the grand juries. I mean, in Fannie Willis's case, she had the indictment ready to go before the grand jury even voted on it. They can, in other words, they can just make stuff up. That's what they do. The process is the punishment. Get them entangled in all kinds of lawsuits and preferably right around Super Tuesday, right in the midst of campaigning next year, in the hope that he can't be elected president. It says here further on, roughly half the DAs are Democrats. This is, again, across the country. They can indict anyone they wish and hold him for trial. The defendants can or cannot afford legal counsel. However, the defendants' careers in public service are generally at an end once the indictments are handed down. You see, even in seeing God's hand in Donald Trump's presidency, who else could even defend against, you know, 91 counts, 91 felony counts, 4 indictments? Who else would even have the resources, the money, to fight back? Except a billionaire who's putting his country first. It says here, the process is similar to Bolshevik indictments of counter-revolutionaries in Stalin's Russia. All of the face cards are owned by the prosecutors. There's almost no limit to the power of the prosecutors. They can simply take down the career and life of anyone they wish. This is known as prosecutorial misconduct, and there is no known way to stop it. There's no way to stop it. I mean, the only way to, I gave you that article the other day by Charlie Kirk, the only way to slow them down is to return the favor. I mean, if you've got 27 Republican district attorneys or attorneys general, if you've got 27 and there's 23 radical Democrats on the other side, I mean, the Republicans have a majority, but they won't even go after the Biden family on actual crimes. And of course, at the federal level, the Bidens, the Obamas, the Clintons, they all have the protection coming from the DOJ as well, as it's there not to find crimes and to administer justice blindly, but they're there to cover up crimes of the radical left, and create crimes on the MAGA right. It says here, but this is exactly what's happening in the U.S. right now. It says a dictatorship of prosecutorial bureaucrats has overruled and demolished the usually understood constitutional processes of the nation. It's not a fantasy. It's happening right now. It's happening. Lawfare. See, ready, Ready for War. That was the January issue of the Trumpet magazine. If you don't have a subscription to this, we offer that, a free one-year subscription to the Trumpet magazine. Call our operators and request your free subscription. The 800 number, 1-866-930-3024. Of course, you can get to the Trumpet magazine, the Trumpet articles that we post on a daily basis, or any of the literature that we promote on this program. You can get to all of that at our website, thetrumpet.com. This is from America Under Attack. My father says, I want to show how the 2020 election crisis exposes Mr. Obama and his closest allies. There were quite a few commentators at Mike Lindell's event that said, okay, the 2016 election of Donald Trump was providential, but so was 2020. The election steal of 2020, that too was providential, because look at what's been exposed. I mean, if only they knew. God's behind that exposure. That's what my father brings out in this quote. He says, Barack Obama came as an angel of light, and millions of Americans believed and still believe him. But as president, was he the guardian of America's democratic institutions and traditions? Like rule of law, did he leave the instruments of our democracy at least as strong as he found them? This is quoting Obama. This is what he said he did, but he didn't. It says here, he did precisely the opposite. Focus on Obama's actions. Look at his fruits. Anybody should be able to see past the angelic artifice and recognize the real power at work. His fruits define what he meant by fundamentally transforming America. David Garrow, he's the one that wrote that biography about Obama back in 2017 or 18. And he was interviewed by Forbes recently. Here's what he had to say about Obama's fake personal history. Clip two.
I was very intrigued when Obama first came on the national stage in early 2008, winning the Iowa caucuses. And the first thing I did was get a paperback copy of his memoir, Dreams from My Father. And reading that, for me as a historian, it was very clear that this was not historical storytelling, that this was, memoir as fiction with, pseudonyms for most of the people, composite characters. And so I was very curious about the real story of Obama's three community organizing years on the far south side of Chicago.
He's one of the few, this man right here, and he's a left-wing Democrat, but he's one of the few that was curious enough to actually look into Obama's background. He read Dreams from My Father and immediately knew this is not history. This is not an autobiography. This is fiction. He made it up. It's completely fake. This is what he had to say about the journalist who swooned. That's talked about in here as well. This is the opening chapter, how the media swoons around Obama. They still do. So many of them still do. Here's what Garrow had to say about journalism today, clip three.
Even then, looking back on the campaign coverage in 2007, 2008, it was very striking to me how incurious much of the journalism was. That they were sort of taking the Obama campaign handouts and going to interview people who were recommended by Obama's staff.
Campaign handouts. I like that. They went to, it's kind of like the fact checkers at Washington Post. If they're going to fact check Donald Trump or anyone on the conservative side on anything, they'll go and contact Biden's people at the White House. Give us the facts on this. And then they'll just take it and run with it. He had one final thing to say about how that at least a few years on now from Obama's presidency, there's a few, not nearly enough, but there's a few that are beginning to look back on that presidency and see the truth about what he actually did, clip four.
I think as the years have gone by, after what I think everyone realized was an underwhelming presidency compared to the outsized, really impossible expectations that existed when he first won election in November of 2008. I think as the years have gone by, people are more able to acknowledge the real shortcomings of the Obama presidency.
And there certainly have been more, and we've noted that on this program. There have been more commentators, particularly more conservative commentators, that do see that America is being attacked from within, and that the dear leader, he's at the tip of the spear. He's leading the charge against America's foundational institutions, against America's founding documents. There's Barack Obama somewhere in the lurking in the shadows while Joe Biden goes on vacation for 370 some days. This is from Tim Stanley. We read him a fair bit when we were over in the UK. He writes at the Daily Telegraph. He says, when governments engage with Biden, Joe Biden, they feel they are dealing with the face of an administration, but not always the person in charge. Well, that's an interesting observation. It says, were the Democrats to drop him from their presidential ticket, the world would understand. He says, a source says that in conversation with a foreign politician, it emerged that their government assumes Joe Biden will not be the Democratic nominee in 2024. Joe will pull out before the first primaries. It will be too late for a grassroots candidate to enter the fray. An establishment stooge will be crowned at the convention. And the name of that lucky winner, Michelle Obama. This is Tim Stanley's opinion. But, you know, he's giving a worldview. He's got sources saying that world leaders, they don't buy it, that Joe Biden's leading the way. And they're not going to be at all surprised if he steps aside, maybe at the last minute. So there's no time for a grassroots candidate. And then you just got to go with someone like Michelle Obama. And wouldn't that be perfect for the dear leader? Then you could line her up for not just 4 more years, but maybe 8 years. And the fundamental transformation is complete. It says a Michelle Obama replacement would suggest he's always been Barack's third term, a conspiracy theory endorsed by Barack Obama in a 2021 interview. He said Joe and the administration are essentially finishing the job begun by Obama and paused by Trump. It's an interesting analysis here from Tim Stanley. It says here, so a court coup to replace Biden with the next Obama available, far from being revolutionary, would reinforce the line of political continuity that stretches from 2008 all the way to 2024 with only Trump's election as a temporary aberration. Michelle has revealed that his amusing inauguration caused her to sob uncontrollably. Mrs. Obama has always polled well. She has published 2 best-selling books and Womanly Wisdom, one on a biography in Womanly Wisdom. She has served in the White House. She is known by everyone, but unlike Trump, has retained some of the enigma of privacy. She has denied that she has any intention of running for the presidency, but that's usually a surefire sign that someone is interested. The dear leader is hard at work. You can be sure of that. They are getting desperate. They are being exposed, but they're not going to lay down and quit. They're not going to surrender to conservatives. They're certainly not going to surrender to Donald Trump. When we come back, we'll conclude today's program by continuing our Bible study from yesterday. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
I'm speaking to you from our television studios in Pasadena, where I speak to the world as a voice crying out in the wilderness of modern religious confusion.
Herbert W. Armstrong was the world's leading televangelist and one of the most prominent religious leaders of the 20th century. Watched, read, and followed by millions worldwide. But his legacy of Bible-based humanitarianism came under attack after he died. The cabal of leaders who took control of the church he founded, after pledging to follow in his footsteps, methodically destroyed all he had built. Those who would stop them were silenced or excommunicated. This shocking story of betrayal and deception is told in Raising the Ruins. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
Yesterday on the show, we mentioned that letter from General John Pershing to his son about a century ago, where he told his son, who was, I think, goofing off, and he was hanging out with the wrong friends, and he said, look, you've got to do something with your education. His son was 15 at the time that he received the letter. And he says, as the boy, so is the man. I mean, you're laying the groundwork now for your future. You're leaving impressions, whether good or bad. So you better straighten up. I mentioned another example on yesterday's show, Herbert W. Armstrong. And here again, the 1,000-page autobiography. And it is autobiographical. It's not fiction. It's not fake. It's a riveting story. And we give that book, as big as it is, we give that book away free, without cost or obligation as well. Call our operators today if you want to immerse yourself into a really productive study of Herbert W. Armstrong's life. He writes in the autobiography about this spark of ambition that he got at that hotel in Iowa when he was just 16 years of age. And a hotel manager who was in his mid-40s said that, hey, you can be a success. You can really do something with your life if you're willing to put in the work. Mr. Armstrong had just seen himself as nothing but ordinary before that summer in Iowa. He says here, that ambition was more than a spark. It was a white-hot flame. I wanted to be a success. I did not yet know in what field or activity, but he wanted to be successful. And, you know, Pershing's son, I think he went on to work at a legal firm or had some business on Wall Street. He became quite successful. Even though he was goofing off at 15, he turned it around. He got a spark of ambition from his father. This is more from Pershing's letter to his son. He said, please imagine yourself as your own boss, as arbiter of your own fate, as responsible for your own success, and rule yourself with an iron hand. That's the only way that you will ever amount to a hill of beans. Rule yourself with an iron hand, he said to his 15-year-old son. You're going to have to, it's like the proverb says, look at Proverbs 25. And verse 28, where it says, he that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. I mean, this is a lesson. This is instruction. This is wisdom that our young people need, that our children need. You see so many, even adults, even commentators, that are unable to control their spirit, their human spirit. They can't rule their own spirit. And the Bible says that's like a city with no walls of protection. You're just completely defenseless. You've just opened the way for the devil's relentless attacks. He goes about, like I said earlier this week, he goes about like a roaring lion. He's seeking whom he can devour. Moffat says about that proverb, that's Proverbs 25:28. But Moffat says, a man with no control over himself is like a town with broken walls. We have to be able to control ourselves. We have to decide, like Mr. Armstrong did at 16, I didn't know what just yet, but I was going to be a success. I was going to do something profitable, something that would help humanity, something that would contribute to society. Of course, upon his conversion to the truth of God, he ended up serving God for nearly a half century. He gave his life to God. Mr. Armstrong said in an article in 1984, just to flesh out this point about ruling yourself well, he said, I have defined character, that is true, righteous, holy character, as number one, coming to the knowledge of the true as opposed to the false values, the right instead of the wrong way. Number two, making of one's own free will and volition the choice to do the right instead of the wrong. And then three, the exercise of the will in actually doing the right instead of the wrong. He says, what then does, or backing up a bit, it says, character then, once the true knowledge is acquired and the right decision made, involves self-discipline. The truly educated person is a self-disciplined person. We've got to be disciplined. We've got to be motivated to serve God. And then, of course, like I've said over and again on this program, it's not enough to just acquire the knowledge. We've got to use it. We've got to put it into action. The Bible says, prove all things and hold fast. Hold fast to that truth. You've got to hold on to it. I was telling the doctrines students that just this morning. If you don't fight for the truth of God, someone's going to come along and take it away. I mean, you can even see that in the national sense with the United States. I mean, if you don't fight to hold on to the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, it's just going to, someone will pull it away. They'll pull it right out of your grasp. The Bible, over and again, says to stand fast or to stand firm, to hold to the traditions. You can read about that in 2 Thessalonians 2. How important is it, though, to really discipline yourself in the direction of God and His way of life, in the direction of obedience and service, in the direction of sacrifice even. I mean, you see in that General Flynn video, there's a man who was willing to make sacrifices for his country. He absolutely despises those that would just go to superiors with only good news. And even if it's not the truth, they go and lie, basically, just to tell the boss what he wants to hear. He hates that. General Flynn hates that. He's like, you have to have the courage to go forward and to give your boss, to give your supervisor the truth, even if it's something that he's not going to like. Pershing, again, another military man, he said this to his 15-year-old. He said, whatever resolutions you make, you should follow up and not allow yourself to be led astray like a weakling by every wind that blows and every worthless boy who wants you to neglect your work. It says here, you are a man and must take a man's attitude in this matter. He's saying this to a 15-year-old. It is your life work you are now doing. Take a stand among men of your generation. Take a stand. Don't just go along with the mob. Don't just, or to quote Exodus 23:2, don't just follow along with the multitude to do evil. Stand against it. Says, if men are not worthwhile, people do not want them. If you have not a reputation for doing things honestly, faithfully, and industriously, people do not want you. I mean, this is hard to find, particularly in this day. If it was that way 100 years ago, look at today. Look at how difficult it is just to find an honest employee, someone that will tell you the truth, someone that will work hard, someone who's diligent. It says here, what I have said above is entirely for your own good, as I see it, from the standpoint of a father who is interested in the future of his son. Don't be a quitter. Don't be a failure. Don't quit. He wrote that letter to his son when his son was 15, and then he told him at the end of the letter, you make sure you read this letter over and over again. Read it at frequent intervals, because you need to learn these lessons while you're young. As the boy, so is the man. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. Thank you for joining us on today's show. Thank you for joining us all week, and we'll see you next time.